Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week of Tim's News Explosion. During these news blasts, I untwist the established news narrative of the week in a fast-paced 30-minute digest every Monday evening. We are live this week, as always, on the Wilmsfront DLive channel, temporarily on the Unshackled's YouTube channel, as the Wilmsfront channel last week received its first strike. Now, this was because YouTube decided to, after it had been up for a couple of weeks, strike down my Wilmsfront interview with Mark Collette. The channel had YouTube had previously given the channel a warning for my Max Egan interview the week before I interviewed Mark Collette there. So it's taken out two recent episodes of Wilmsfront, 133 and 134, but the last two are still up there. My interview with Elizabeth Taylor two weeks prior, and then Evelyn Ray, who I had on last Thursday. But I do back up all Wilmsfront interviews on the Wilmsfront Odyssey and BitChute channels. I hope to be able to stream both Wilmsfront and Tim's News Explosion to Odyssey soon, like we do for Trad Tasman Talk. So I know that most of the people who follow Unshackled Productions subscribe to both channels, and I provide the link in advance every night. So I see that the usual people are in the chat. Yes, Senator Slay, you're right. I forgot to do the regular Tim's News Explosion. I played the Wilmsfront one by accident. Just for you, Senator Slayer, I'll play it now.
Tim's News Explosion. 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 Tim's News Explosion.
Yes, there's the Tim's News Explosion graphic and music. So the date is Monday, the 21st of June, 2021. It is just past 8:30 p.m. here in what is known as bleak Melbourne now, as the city is quickly becoming known as the Andrews Molino government, as I now call it. Last week, drip-fed Victorians back some of their pre-existing freedoms, and most likely they'll drip-feed some more back this week as the recent COVID clusters in Melbourne are in their last gasp. But after four lockdowns now, Victoria is becoming the state and Melbourne the place to flee, with recent statistics and polling showing as much. On Sunday, there was in the Herald Sun, there was a poll that was put out. I'll just share it on the screen here now. COVID lockdown wary Melburnians fleeing to country Victoria. And it says, go down here, an exclusive poll of 1,500 Victorians carried out by research firm Redbridge found 36% of Melburnian residents would prefer to move out of the city for the country if their work circumstances allowed, and one-fifth of Melburnians said they'd seriously considered or were considering a tree change, and 6% said they had already made the move. A third of all respondents, both from Melbourne and regional Victoria, said they'd prefer to live in a state if they had the chance. Yes, I'm certainly part of that cohort there. If I was able to pack up and leave gypsy style, I would. And this is backed up by the recent ABS data. So basically said that the state population of Victoria grew by about 700 people when it was 121,500, which if you're a Melburnian and traffic's a bit of a nightmare for you, then obviously less cars on the road, less population growth is better. But certainly, yeah, Melbourne has lost, well, morale is low. A lot of people's livelihoods, lives have been crushed with all the lockdowns, and now with the restrictions easing is the key word. Now the escape window is back open, so all Victorians can now travel to New South Wales, and from midnight tonight can travel to Tasmania. Melburnians are still locked out of Queensland. Regional Victorians can go. But there was a regional Victorian couple who went to Queensland but were locked in hotel quarantine because apparently they shared a minibus at Melbourne Airport with some people who might have been from Melbourne. So they associated with the dirty Melburnians. So their Queensland holiday, they have to spend in hotel quarantine. And Anastasia Palaszczuk, her chief health officer, who has made all these ridiculous rules, including, well, keeping a fully vaccinated returning traveling couple from seeing their newborn child, and now preventing a Melbourne couple seeing their dying dad. The chief health officer up there, Dr. Jeanette Young, who Anastasia Palaszczuk has abdicated all her tough decisions to. Anastasia Palaszczuk announced that Dr. Jeanette Young is going to be Queensland's new governor come November. So she won't be making there'll probably be some other medical stooge in November making all the decisions that Anastasia Palaszczuk doesn't want to, but Dr. Jeanette Young will be elevated to the state's governor, which basically rubber stamps legislation, issues the writs for elections there. So Queensland probably gets no. Wait, it's always Melbourne is the golden turd standard when it comes to COVID. I'd say WA with Mark McLeod second, given that he locks down over one or two cases, and then probably with the cruelty of the decisions, the bronze turd goes to Queensland and Anastasia Palaszczuk there. Now, last week on Tim's News Explosion, I covered at the G7 rules for thee, but not for me. The fact that when the cameras weren't front and center, the world leaders weren't social distancing, and they were mingling with each other. But of course, the servants were all masks. Now, this week, in another example of rules for thee, but not for me, Victoria's Chief Health Officer, Brett Sutton, he travelled to Canberra before the 25-kilometre radius was lifted to attend a conference and an awards night.
The Chief Health Officer is under fire from the opposition for travelling to Canberra to attend an event with friends and colleagues last night. Reid Butler's at Melbourne Airport with the exclusive details. Reid, the Shadow Health Minister says this doesn't pass the pub test.
Well, yes, Pete, Brett Sutton was certainly a lot further than 25 kilometres from his home, but the health department tonight wants to stress that he was at this dinner in a work capacity and hasn't technically done anything wrong. It was for an awards night for the National Health and Medical Research Council, of which Brett Sutton is a member. Other chief health officers from around the country were also in attendance, as well as the Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt.
Back from a Canberra work trip, Professor Brett Sutton appeared to be having regrets.
If I could have my time again, I was disappointed that the distraction was about me and not about that important meeting.
The Chief Health Officer attended a research awards ceremony and met with others from the National Health and Medical Research Council.
You can't really honour people for their fantastic research without being there in person.
Well, there were other chief health officers who were absent, who zoomed in from that very important meeting that Brett Sutton had to be there in person. The chief health officer of New South Wales, Kerry Chant, and the CHOs, as the chief health officer known for short, of the Northern Territory and Western Australia. Now, as Victoria's COVID clusters recede, there is a new outbreak cluster that is occurring in Sydney's eastern suburbs around Bondi, or more like the Westfield Bondi Junction Shopping Centre. It currently stands at 11, though if I was a Sydney sider, I'd be feeling much more at ease that you're not going to get locked down for several weeks, though. Gladys Berejiklian, the Premier, has mandated masks on public transport, and for the seven local government areas where there are active cases, masks indoors, but she hasn't had any other restrictions there. Now, with the outbreak in Sydney, it's always at the same time every morning, the COVID update in New South Wales, 11 a.m. That's where they release the daily figures there. It's not really the daily Gladys because she's not there every day. It's more the daily Hazard we're seeing back every day. The Health Minister of New South Wales, Brad Hazard, who has made some doozy statements over the past year, including that we've just got to accept that this is the new world order or new world of COVID, and he was back with some doozy zinger lines over the past week. So I previously made a compilation of Brad Hazard's greatest hits. This is his recent singles featuring Kerry Chant, the Chief Health Officer of New South Wales.
Particular Delta virus is a near and present danger.
I think it's fair to remind all of us that 3.8 million people have died as a result of this COVID-19 virus across the world. The virus right now is more dangerous than it has ever been across the world.
The one thing we do know is this virus, this COVID virus is like a guerrilla fighter. It comes out when you least expect it, which is why we need to do all the things that we've been doing for the last 15 months. QR codes are the weapon that we have to fight back with.
AstraZeneca and Pfizer are the only weapons we have to fight this war against this virus.
But obviously we urge people to be vaccinated, but a key message also is just because you're vaccinated, you can still get infected and be infectious.
So there you go there. Obviously, there's this renewed vaccination push, but as Kerry Chant there said, Dr. Kerry Chant, straight from the horse's mouth, is that even if you are vaccinated, you can still get infected and pass it on to other people. Now, obviously, the vaccine rollout in Australia last week took another hit with the federal advisory body on immunisation, ATAGI, now recommending the AstraZeneca vaccine for those aged over the age of 60, because the risk profile had changed for those over 50 and under 60 with regard to AstraZeneca because of this, as they stressed, very rare blood clotting condition there. Now, the AstraZeneca vaccine, it's probably the most, you'd say, traditional of the COVID vaccines, but it's not approved over in the US. And if you decided to get your two shots of AstraZeneca, it was looking like if you went overseas when you're allowed to with your vaccine passport, you wouldn't be allowed to go to Broadway in a Bruce Springsteen concert because the US drug approval body is the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. They've only approved Moderna, Pfizer, and the Johnson & Johnson one shot there, but they reversed their vaccination certificate policy that now WHO approved vaccines, including AstraZeneca. So you can go, if you've got your AstraZeneca vaccine, you can still go and see Bruce Springsteen. Well, when you're allowed to go over to the US there. Now, obviously, we've had Scott Morrison talk about not vaccine passports, but vaccine certificates that will be accessible via either the MyGov or Medicare Express Plus app. We had Craig Kelly, now independent MP, introduce his private members bill today in Parliament to ban vaccine passports certificates, as many states in the US have done. Given that, in Victoria, and we've seen it creeping around Australia, the surveillance apparatus, even without vaccine passport certificates, has already been increased with COVID, with the QR checking everywhere, which in Victoria now, it's now mandated at supermarkets, retail outlets, and offices. Now, last week, it was revealed that WA police have been using contact tracing app data to find criminals. And it's also been, because of that, it's also been subsequently revealed that Victoria and Queensland police can also access COVID app data, but they do have to get a court warrant there. So it's a bit more difficult there. This was revealed by the acting Police and Emergency Services Minister Danny Pearson, because Lisa Neville, the former Victoria Police Minister, is still on leave for her Crohn's disease there. And now we also heard Acting Premier James Molino. Dan is apparently due back next Monday. So when this Tim's News Explosion is on next Monday, that is when Dan will return. June 28th is also International Victims of Communism Day. The odds and irony of that day, of those dates basically syncing up there. So James Molino, he announced on Sunday because, the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is not our mRNA, has been trashed. And so apparently Victoria is going to be trying to make the Australia's first local mRNA COVID vaccine, with stage one clinical trials beginning in October. Now, I hope this this COVID vaccine, locally trialed COVID vaccine, works better than the University of Queensland one, which you remember was abandoned at the end of last year because they used a HIV protein clamp, which produced a HIV false positive. So I wonder if in this one they're going to, what is it, be using as a clamp? I don't know, syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia. Maybe, who knows, but this stage one trials don't start until October, and then they don't get the informal data until the beginning of 2022. So it's a long way off, but it makes the Andrews Molino government look like they're doing something important there. Now, I was talking about the fact that over in the US, with them entering in the Northern Hemisphere, North American summer, things are getting back to normal. But in Fortress Australia, hardly anyone can get in or out unless you're quite a privileged person, a politician, sports star, or a celebrity. We had the Trade Minister Dan Tehan on the weekend say no rush to reopen international borders, unless you are the Australian Prime Minister. So we had at the G7 Scott in Cornwall, England, Scott Morrison a hanger on there, and he decided to not go for Strictly Work. He decided to trace his Cornish convict roots there. So it's another example of international travel for me, but not for thee. Morrison has received his double shot of the Pfizer vaccine. He is quarantining at the lodge for 2 weeks because, as Kerry Chant just said, even if you've been vaccinated, you can still get COVID. So with Parliament, even though Parliament is sitting, Scott Morrison is zooming in to question time there. So as we can see there, I see that in the comments there, Hadron anti-bullying, you shouldn't be allowed to leave. He's just going to stupid globalist stuff anyway. Yes, well, I played for you last week, Boris Johnson, talking about we're not just going to build back better, but greener and more equal and more gender neutral there. And what is it? Scott Morrison and Boris Johnson announced, well, not a free trade agreement, but some early aspirations of a free trade agreement. And you also had the Boris Johnson hint that Scott Morrison was going to join and have a net zero emissions target because when COVID wasn't in the headlines, it was the climate emergency. Now we're going to have a in the show now. We're going to have a Q&A question that's been sent in. I'm just going to play it here.
Neil Erickson here. This is my question. Why are we rewarding foreigners who have anchor babies by giving them citizenship?
Now let's have the Deputy Prime Minister-elect Barnaby Joyce answer.
Well, the two things that I think are most prominent in this, Thanika and Kapika were born in Australia, in Australia. Now maybe if their names were Jane and Sally and they were playing the local netball side, would think twice about sending them back to another country which they're not from. I mean, send them to Sri Lanka, why not send them to Southern Sudan? Send them to Rwanda, send them to Belarus, because they're also countries they're never born in. I think first and foremost must be the issue that people who were born in Australia must have some sort of right to stay here. Thanika and Kapika didn't buy this ticket, and I think it's incumbent upon us to make sure, despite what the allegations might be about their parent or their father, who actually worked here, who actually had a job. In the regional Australia, we need people who have jobs. These people should be staying here. I know that's going to leave me offside with other people in my party, but I've done it before and I'll do it again, and this is one of those instances where I'll do precisely that.
So Barnaby Joyce said this last week before today's National Party Room leadership spill, where Michael McCormack lost the National's leadership and hence the Deputy Prime Ministership to Barnaby Joyce. He'll be returning after 3 years in the wilderness, after he resigned, after his affair and then impregnation of his former media advisor Vicky Campion became too much of a political burden. He subsequently had a second son with Vicky Campion since then. During his time on the 3 years on the backbench, Barnaby was having money troubles because obviously supporting two new children. Then he's got his previous four daughters and ex-wife as well. He'll get his salary doubled again. But it seems while Barnaby was on the backbench, he mellowed a bit and became a bit of a bleeding heart. So Barnaby Joyce is in favour of anchor babies. So we don't have birthright citizenship in Australia, thankfully. This is why this Bilawilo Sri Lankan family, who've been found by every court not to be refugees, were put into immigration detention because, well, their refugee claim was denied. And despite the fact they fear persecution, the parents have been back to Sri Lanka during that time, so clearly they were safe during that time. Immigration and Citizenship Minister Alex Hawke said because they were being held on Christmas Island until the daughter got some blood infection. Alex Hawke said last week they'll be allowed in community detention in Perth, but they might be allowed to apply for another visa or something, basically kicking the can down the road again there. Now, over in the US, as I mentioned, life is getting back to normal up in the Northern Hemisphere. They would argue it's due to the success of their mRNA vaccine rollout. Now, disregarding your opinions about the vaccines, Even though the US healthcare system and, well, the US as a superpower has been criticized, they've been able to roll out the vaccines the quickest to everyone who wants them. And most states haven't got, well, as I mentioned before, a banned vaccine passports. But the thing is, if, like, with the vaccines, if you reach, what is it, herd immunity, which is 70 to 80%, then why do you need to have a vaccine passport system if you know for a fact that 70 to 80% and herd immunity, therefore you don't need to discriminate against those who we shouldn't say refuse but don't wish to take the vaccine. Now on July the 4th, which is the US Independence Day, that is where basically mission accomplished is going to be declared against the pandemic, though President Joe Biden has now declared that there's during the US summer, well, this summer is actually termed White Boy Summer, he has declared another national holiday, which is Juneteenth. Which is June the 17th. That's when President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation after the U.S. Civil War there. Now, the U.S. already has Martin Luther King Day as a public holiday. So now they've got two days that public holidays that memorialize Black civil rights and freedom. Somebody said that it was Biden did this to distract from the fact that his son Hunter Biden called his lawyer the N-word, although Biden himself did use the N-word earlier this year.
I'm eager to hear. Eager to hear next.
Ugh, that's another one of Sleepy Joe's gaffes there. And now, as we know, Biden is becoming increasingly senile, and, well, we've long suspected that there are other people behind in the White House running the show for him there, and he let it slip recently about, well, how it's his aides who decide which journalists are allowed to ask questions at the press conference.
I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble with staff if I don't do this the right way. Jennifer Jacobs, Bloomberg.
Thanks, sir. So there you go there. Now, back in the UK, where, well, they've had a pretty strong vaccination rate, but because of the Delta strain that just, as Brad Hazard said, leaps out and jumps at you when you're least suspected. They've put their Freedom Day was meant to be June 24th when all restrictions were lifted. That's now been put off to July the 21st. So obviously the UK is a bit more of a nanny state. So their mainstream media, Sky News UK and the BBC News channel, they have all of these experts say, oh, we've got to be extra cautious, we can't lift restrictions, we've got to have them for a bit longer to make sure that we're not in a third wave and so we can have more vaccines rolled out. Now, thankfully, there is going to be some sanity injected into the UK mainstream media with a new channel launching this past week, GB News, which is chaired by Andrew Neil, formerly a BBC presenter, but is probably most well known for being the chairman of the Spectator magazine. Even though he was employed by the BBC, he is firmly of the center right. The BBC just employed him because he's a brilliant interviewer, and you might remember he completely destroyed Ben Shapiro by asking him tough questions, and Ben Shapiro got really shitty with him, saying, well, if you're asking me all these things, you must be on the left, which Andrew Neil laughs about. So you clearly don't know anything about me. And Ben Shapiro accused him of asking gotcha questions. And when obviously Ben Shapiro stormed off at the end, admitted that, oh, I destroyed myself. Yeah, I was unprepared and should have known who Andrew Neil was. So I'm going to play for you a bit of Andrew Neil's monologue at the launch of GB News, which you can stream online in Australia and is going to be over the broadcast channel in the UK.
Good evening. I'm Andrew Neil, and this is GB News. It's 8 p.m. on Sunday, June the 13th, 2021. Welcome to the launch of GB News, Britain's news channel, dedicated to covering the news that matters to you and to giving a voice to those who felt sidelined or even silenced in our great national debates. Because if it matters to you, it matters to us. What unites us is the firm belief that now is the time to do news differently. We are committed to covering the people's agenda, not the media's agenda. We will not lecture you or talk down, and nobody will be allowed to hector. Indeed, hector has been banished from the studio. GB News will not be yet another echo chamber for the metropolitan mindset that already dominates so much of our media. It is our explicit aim to empower those who feel their stories, their opinions, their concerns have been ignored or diminished. We are proud to be British. The clue is in the name. And while we will never hold back from covering our country's many flaws and problems, we will not come at every story with the conviction that Britain is always at fault, usually to blame when things go wrong, generally useless. We won't forget what the B stands for in our title.
Now, that final remark was clearly a swipe by Andrew Neil at his former employer, the BBC, which probably more accurately stands for Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation. If you think our ABC is bad with its identity politics and promoting of every globalist site apart from the nation which it gets its funding from, then the BBC is way worse there. In fact, the over in the UK, the you're not allowed to operate a TV unless you hand over money to the BBC TV license fee, even though you purchase a TV there, you've got to have a license to operate it there. So I hope that GB News does well over there. I know that the left claim, well, the if you got rid of the Murdoch media, then we wouldn't have any so-called far-right media. But GB News is not owned by the Murdoch media. It's a consortium of very different owners there, and I'm sure GB News will do well there, filling that void there. So that's another positive thing, that it is something that is independent of the news corporation Murdoch empire. Well, the US has non-Murdoch right-wing news with Newsmax and One America News there. All right, that half hour went quickly, as it always does here on Tim's News Explosion. Now, I'll be back. There will be a Wilmsfront this Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Melbourne time. I don't think that the strike will expire on time, so it'll probably be on the Unshackled's YouTube channel and Tim Wilms DLive. My guest will be Kyle Kutazi, who he is based in Sydney and is very avid follower of New South Wales politics there, because, well, in case you didn't know, the main story in New South Wales politics was not actually the COVID cluster. It was actually the fact that Gladys Berejiklian has a new boyfriend, Arthur Moses, the lawyer who represented her at ICAC last year, when it was revealed that she formerly dated disgraced former MP Daryl Maguire. I assume that after her testimony, Arthur Moses said, so I guess that means you're single now. We won't just be discussing the gossip of New South Wales politics. There's a lot going on there with the New South Wales state budget there. And Trad Tasman Talk will return 6 p.m. Melbourne time on the Unshackled YouTube channel. Wilms Front and Trad Tasman Talk will be returning to weekly shows in the coming weeks. So I've taken a bit lighter recently, but both of those shows, as well as Tim's Music Explosion, which is every Monday, will be returning weekly. Though for Trad Tasman Talk, every week it won't always be myself and Due hosting the show, but stay tuned for that there. So thank you, everyone, so much for your company here in the live chat. I will play the Tim's News Explosion outro, as I forgot to do at the beginning of this program. I'll play that out with you, and I'll see you next week for another News Explosion and for Wilmsfront this Thursday night. Take care, everyone.
Tim's News Explosion. 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 Tim's News Explosion.